expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Jen Gomez, and today I am joined by Lauren DeAngelis.
Hi there.
And we are going to talk about our favorite subject.
Absolutely.
Which we have talked about on the show before. We're talking about Harry Potter, but we're talking about it for a very specific reason. And Chris is not joining us today. He's playing engineer because while he enjoys Harry Potter, the level of his obsession is not quite rise to ours.
Most people don't,
yes. So this September marks the 20th anniversary of the publishing of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Now, it's not the beginning of Harry Potter because technically the Philosopher's Stone was published in Britain the year before. Mm-hmm. But we don't care about them. We care about
us. I care about them.
No, I'm just kidding. I actually have the British version of the books, and it's quite fun to read to see the differences between them.
I got a version of the Philosopher's Stone. We were in Iceland.
Oh, nice.
We're going to start collecting different editions of every foreign country. Not that I can read or understand half of them, but
right.
They're just cool to have.
Yeah, that is really neat. Of Sorcerer's Stone, I've had, I think, four versions, because I had the Scholastic one that everybody's read.
Mm-hmm.
The very first one I read was actually the adult edition, which doesn't mean anything like it sounds. It's just the adult cover, so they made it look more like a regular paperback and not a children's book, so it doesn't have the artwork in it.
Okay.
Like the little chapter headers.
What a waste of time.
Right. But it was sold at the grocery store I was working in, so I picked it up. And then I got the regular Scholastic one. Then I have the Spanish version and the illustrated version and now the British version. So I have five.
I need to get the illustrated versions.
It's really cool.
I know. I've leafed through them at Barnes & Noble, and they look beautiful.
Yeah. But in celebration of the 20th anniversary of the book being published, Cinemark had a festival of the movies this past weekend where they showed all 9 Harry Potter movies. So that's the movies 1 through 7 and then 7 part 2,
mm-hmm.
and then Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yeah. Technically, it's still happening.
It is.
I believe.
It is still happening. Yes. We are done. We watched all the movies we were able to and we missed one.
I feel like a failure.
I know.
Like it hurts a little bit. Like all day I was like, should I just go home from work?
Yeah. So it was the Wizarding World celebration, and they played all of the movies in IMAX, and we spent several nights at the theater this past weekend.
Several.
And what was really terrible...
I'm telling you.
Yes. So what was terrible about it is that they were all in different... It was all out of order.
Like, oh, God, it was the worst.
Cinemark did not schedule these movies to where you were able to watch them in order. It was impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So Friday night, we watched movie 1, Sorcerer's Stone, and Fantastic Beasts.
Which, as a combo, was fine.
Right. And that was late Friday night. We got out of the theater at like 12:30 a.m. Then Saturday night, we watched Deathly Hallows Part 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
So we jumped to the end.
Which felt super weird.
It did. And it was emotionally taxing.
It really was. And going from 1 to the end was like your brain didn't know what to do with that.
Yeah. And, man, I cried a lot more than I was expecting to.
It's sadder when it's bigger.
Yeah. I knew I was going to cry because...
Always do.
I always cry when Dobby dies. It doesn't matter what the context is, whether I'm reading it for the 15th time, whether I'm watching the movie, whether I catch it, like, on TV and just randomly on that scene. Boom. Waterworks.
Oh, Hedwig. Me. Hedwig can't do it. No.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like that they gloss over it in the movie. In the book, it's this big traumatic thing, and she, like sacrificed herself to save Harry, and I lose it. In the movies, it's just like, oh, she's gone. Oh, man, that sucks. And then they're moving on. And I'm very thankful for that, actually.
So that was a good cut.
Yeah.
So, and we watched that, again, leaving the theater at 12:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Sunday, we had to rewind and watch 2, 3, and 4.
It felt wrong.
It did. Like, I'm like, these all these characters are dead. Why are they back on the screen? I don't understand. That was tough. It was really hard to go backwards.
We time-turnered it.
We did. Yes. Or as I said, we Tarantino'd it. Mm-hmm. This is how the movies would have been if Tarantino had directed them. And then last night at 10:15, we watched...
On a Tuesday.
Going into a Tuesday.
On a Monday before a Tuesday.
We watched Order of the Phoenix, so movie 5.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, getting out of the theater at 12:30 and then having to be at work the next morning.
It was the first time I've ever been upset the movies were not shorter.
Yes, absolutely. So the one we didn't get to watch was Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah.
Which I really like. Mm-hmm. Like, thinking back on that one, I was really impressed with how they did it.
Oh, yeah, that was great. The Felix Felici scene, mm-hmm. where he's, like, walking around all giddy is great.
Yeah.
It's a much-needed break of comedy in a very dark part of the story.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so I feel incomplete, so.
We're going to have to get together and watch it at
some
point.
Although, it did make me want to reread the books, which I started today, because I miss that world. I miss that story. So... But anyway, so let's start off talking about Fantastic Beasts, because that's kind of the newest one.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the trailer for the sequel
a thousand times.
Let's see, we watched what, 8 movies?
Yeah.
So we watched it 8 times.
8 times.
Because
maybe 7, because that one time we're like, I'm not going to that theater yet.
Oh, that's true. We walked in right as the movie was starting. Okay, so we saw it 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
But before every showing, they showed the same trailer.
Like, everyone wasn't going to be in all of the same movies.
Right? Yeah. So it showed the new artwork for the 20th anniversary, which is very pretty.
Which is actually really cool.
And then they would show the trailer for this movie that comes out in November. It's The Crimes of Grindelwald, so it's the sequel, which looks amazing. I'm super excited. I just don't want to watch the trailer anymore.
Ever again.
I've seen it too many
times.
I want
to know what the desk turns into after he ridiculouses it.
Yes.
And that's it. That's all I want to see.
Well, that one big creature at the end.
Oh my gosh. It looks like a Chinese dragon.
Yeah.
Puppet, but alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have no idea what that is. I'm very excited to find out.
I love these movies so much. I love the Fantastic Beasts movies. One of the reasons I love them so much is I don't have a book to compare them to.
Yes. It's hard to be disappointed in something you have no pre-existing.
Right. So that's awesome, because I can just sit back and go, the story is amazing. And I also love that Jo Rowling herself writes them.
Which, like, I just learned today. How did I not know that?
I don't know. How did you not know that?
You know, maybe I did, and I just hadn't focused on it.
Yeah, because not only did she write the story, because obviously she did, but she actually wrote the screenplay for these movies, and she's going to write the rest of them. So I think she has 5 or 7 movies planned in this string.
Yeah.
And she is screenwriting all of them.
That's awesome.
And I am so excited because I love this woman so much. She is my idol. She's just so brilliant that all this magic can come out of one mind is really mind-boggling.
Or scary. It's a little scary.
A little bit of both.
She's got an entire world stuck in her head.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was able to let it out, so that's nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Fantastic Beasts is a great... It's so beautiful. Set in the 20s.
Oh, yeah. One thing I really noticed when we watched it, like the first Harry Potter, and then went straight to Fantastic Beasts, is the amount of digital effects and magic and just little things they had worked, like the little nuances they'd worked into the world,
mm-hmm.
have just gotten so mature. Like there's a bunch of magic and stuff in the first one, and it's kind of very straightforward, but, you know, there's just, like, these little details, like, when you walk into their apartment for the first time, and, like, the wash is hanging by the fire, and just, like, little things in a house that you wouldn't think of. They've really upped that game in these new movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and the effects keep getting bigger and bigger as the magic spells keep, getting bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And rewatching all the old movies, like, when they would have their big battle scenes, you know, between Harry and Voldemort or Dumbledore and Voldemort or whoever.
That's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it. They would both have their wands, and they would be casting spells at each other, which would pretty much just be squiggly lines.
Which were still cool.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of looked like lava dripping out.
Right.
And
then
neat.
They would kind of come together in this little explosion thing. But now, especially with Fantastic Beasts, they're getting so much more detail
mm-hmm.
with the actual magic itself. It's really quite astonishing.
And they can kind of go anywhere with it, because they, as you said, don't have a book to constrain them. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe the magic does get big and explode like that. We don't know because it's never been described before.
That's true. That's true. And I love the characters she's made in this. Newt is adorable.
He's super cute.
And Eddie Redmayne is just so good mm-hmm. in this role. And it's real interesting to see. I mean, he's obviously on the spectrum.
Yes.
This character.
Well, she's commented about that,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think she has. And that he's autistic. He doesn't make eye contact with people very often. He does at very, very specific points in the movie. But, you know, and he just wants to be alone with his animals. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to be around people. And who can blame him?
I relate to that a lot.
Right? Yeah. Just leave me with my beasts and I'll be fine.
I want my dogs and that's it.
I want to mm-hmm. live in the suitcase with all the animals and we'll be good.
I'm surprised he comes out at all.
Right.
Yeah.
And also the muggle,
Jacob.
Jacob. Oh, he's
adorable.
And he's played really well by, Dan Fogler. And I've seen him in a couple of things and he's all right.
I don't think I have seen him in anything else.
Did you see Balls of Fury? Which was the ping pong movie game?
No.
Oh. That's a funny movie. So he's done kind of like offbeat dark comedies and
okay.
kind of cult classic things. But he's so good in this. And his character is just adorable. You just want to hug him.
Well, he is kind of representing all of us.
Yes.
Watching this.
Because mm-hmm.
he is the muggle experiencing magic for the first time like we were.
Yeah. That's one thing I don't like about about this particular film world is I don't like the term nomadge.
Oh, no, it's awful.
I prefer muggle.
Oh, I prefer muggle, too. It's like nomadge. Really? You just cut off a couple letters there? Like, that's not even create. Really, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, I won't say it.
Yeah.
So, I won't use it in a sentence.
No. No. It's all muggle all
mm-hmm,
the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the sequel to that comes out this November, and I'm super excited.
Thank you.
And Johnny Depp plays Grindelwald, who is the main baddie. So you're not happy with that decision?
I know
there's a lot of controversy
around
this casting.
No, I'm not happy with the decision, and it's not for the reason that I think most people are unhappy with the decision, because I know there's, like, kind of controversy around him as a human
right.
lately. I wasn't a fan. I mean, I have changed my views a little bit now that I'm seeing more clips. I wasn't a fan of the casting decision for Jude Law either,
mm-hmm.
because I didn't want big-name actors to come into this series and be like Jude Law as Dumbledore,
mm-hmm.
Johnny Depp as Grindelwald. I'm like, no, these characters need to be their own thing. And if they're hiring these like big name,
mm-hmm.
very established actors, people aren't going to be able to see through them into the character. I think Jude
right.
Law is going to be fine as Dumbledore, but Johnny Depp looks weird.
He does look weird.
Like even compared, and especially seeing the old ones with the picture of Grindelwald and mm-hmm. like seeing like the flashbacks of him like stealing the elder. Like where did they go from that cute little boy to Johnny Depp that is albino? I don't know what happened.
Well, I think my theory is that because with Voldemort, he looks a lot different in the movies than he would have when he was younger because he's delved so far down into dark magic
yes.
that it's actually changed him physically.
Well, and he has a new body now, too. We saw it happen.
But
also, I like that you omit the T now.
Yes. I always have. So this is a big thing that Joe came out recently and said it's not Voldemort, it's Voldemort.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've always said it that way.
She made a lot of people very upset.
Yes. I've always said it without the T because when I first started reading the books, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of words in here I don't know how to pronounce. And so I went on the Scholastic website and they had a glossary of all the terms.
Mm-hmm.
And if you clicked on it, it would speak it. There was a little microphone thing that if you clicked on it, it would say the word so you could hear how it was pronounced.
Me and my mom argued about Hermione versus Hermione for years until that movie came out. And I went, ha!
You were right.
I was right.
Nice. But my favorite one on that list of words was Voldemort because when you click on it, it says, shh, you know who. And then you click on it again, and it says, he who shall not be named. And then you click on it again, and it says, Voldemort.
You might be the only person in the world who found that. Because there was an uprising when she's like, you don't pronounce the T, and everyone's like, what are you talking about? No one's all like, you just go to the Scholastic website and no, you're the only person I've ever heard say that.
Well, see, if people had asked me, I would have let them know. Because there you go. That's how that goes. So, yeah, but, yeah, Voldemort. It's always been Voldemort. Anyway, getting back to my point. So in his quest to become immortal and to cheat death and all that, his physical being changed. And even before he got a new body, you know, before he was vanquished by Harry when he was a baby, he was going through physical changes.
They described him as snake-like back then as well.
Right. And I think Dumbledore has even addressed it at some point in the book that he had gone through so many physical transformations. So I think Grindelwald is the same way. Mm. I think that he's albino now and he's got different colored eyes. Not that I'm happy with it, but I think that's why.
I mean, we have no book to tell us otherwise.
That's right. We have no...
And it's a good theory, which I had not considered before.
So that's why I'm a little okay with it. But we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk about the movies even more. We could talk about this for hours, but we already have
over the past couple of days.
That's true. That's true. So you're listening to We're a Little Behind.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Codwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details on all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information, go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Codwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
Hi, Lance Beck here, President of North State Security. Celebrating our 50th year of operations in Northern California, I wish to thank the Shasta County community for such great support over the last 5 decades. In appreciation, North State Security is having a contest. We are giving away $1,000 in gift certificates, $500 from R&R Meats, and $500 from Costco to the individual who come closest to guessing the total number of accrued man hours of North State Security officers have worked throughout the past 50 years. North State Security allows but one entry per family. Provide your guests for total hours worked in the 50-year period. Full name, home address, and phone number, then submit either in person or by mail to our headquarters. That is North State Security at 1970 Hartnell Avenue, zip code 96002. The winner will be announced Friday, November 30th. Submit your pick on total number of hours security officers have worked in the past 50 years for a chance at $1,000 in gift certificates. Submit on a full sheet of paper in person or mail to North State Security at 1970 Hartnell Avenue. Best of luck and stay safe.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Magician Matt Franco brings illusion and humor to Reading's historic Cascade Theater September 9th. As the only magician ever to win America's Got Talent, Matt Franco's innovative approach to magic is fueled with improv and driven by pure joy. Experience the boundless fun and stunning sense of wonder with magician Matt Franco at the Cascade Theater September 9th. Get tickets today at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Get ready to laugh because Riverfront Playhouse is bringing you a show about a normal guy who has a ton of everyday problems that everyone can relate to. Hilarity will ensue as Jasper navigates from mundane career obstacles, awkward romantic encounters, right down to the daily commute. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Somewhere in Between, written by Craig Pospisil, directed by Chris Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, September 22nd through October 13th. Mature themes and language, so viewer discretion is advised.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
Wow. Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Lauren DeAngela.
And we are talking Harry Potter.
Like usual.
Like usual. It is a common subject between us.
It really is.
And one of the things we've been talking a lot about recently is Hogwarts Mystery.
It took a while for me to get into it. I won't lie. Year one was a little slow.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, how much energy do I have?
So
I can do what? I go where?
So Hogwarts Mystery is a mobile app game that you play, and you are a student at Hogwarts, and so you get to go, and then it happens very close to when Harry becomes the boy who lived. So it's actually mentioned in there that, oh, the Dark Lord is gone now because Harry Potter, you know, got rid of him. And so it takes place. So I'd say this.
I thought it was earlier than that.
No, they mention him. That they mention it happening.
I must have glossed over that part. I just tap the screen a lot.
So this game takes place in what, the early 90s? No, the late 80s.
Well, it's whenever Bill and Charlie were at Hogwarts.
Early 80s, because so. I believe Harry is technically a couple years older than we are.
Yes.
So this game would take place in the early 80s, which explains the new outfit you can get. The new exercise outfit, which is ugly.
Yeah, but it doesn't make it okay.
It doesn't. So anyway, so it's a game where it's mostly tapping.
It's like an RPG.
Yeah.
Sort of.
But you get energy, and then you cast spells, and you have to solve this mystery of your missing brother.
You get to go to class and mm-hmm. see all the different classrooms and corridors and Hogsmeade and all sorts of cool stuff.
And rewatching the movie makes me really appreciate the people who programmed this game because mm-hmm. it is detailed and it is good.
It really is, especially
it's
that
beautiful.
Greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
It's so pretty.
And the Great Hall
mm-hmm.
with the tables, and there's a big old fireplace in there, and everything is really pretty.
It must have taken him a long time.
Oh yeah. So if you have a smartphone, you should download Hogwarts Mystery. It's a free game.
Are there people that don't have smartphones?
I don't know what they can do. I'm not sure. Maybe you can get it on the computer, but I don't think so.
No, you can't.
I think it's just phones.
Too.
It's just phones. So if you love Harry Potter or like Harry Potter and have a smartphone, get that game. It's mm-hmm. a lot of fun. Yeah, right now I'm at the very end of year four.
She's so frustrated, guys.
I'm so frustrated because for a week now I haven't been able to progress because they haven't released the rest of the game
yet. If the designers of this game are listening, Jen needs more levels like yesterday.
Yes. I'm a prefect. I get to be a prefect in my fifth year. I have the badge. I just can't. And I can't get in the bathroom. I want to go in the bathroom.
Oh, the bathroom's going to be cool.
Yeah, the prefect bathroom, which was in the fourth movie,
mm-hmm.
because Harry has to go into the bathtub to figure out the secret of his golden egg.
And Moaning Myrtle's super creepy.
When we got to that point in the movie, I'm sitting there, I'm like, I want to take a bath in there. Because this tub is huge. It's like the size of a small swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's even bigger than a hot tub.
Yeah.
This thing is huge, and it's got all kinds of bubbles. Rainbow water and ghosts, but I could deal with her.
I don't know. On rewatch, it made me a little uncomfortable. Where I'm like, if the roles were reversed and this was a dude ghost doing this to a girl, no one would be having it.
That's true.
It would be super uncomfortable.
It is uncomfortable. So Harry is taking a bath, so obviously he's naked. And, of course, you don't see anything because he's in the tub.
And
lots
it's PG-13.
Of bubbles, and it's PG-13. But this ghost of this 12-year-old girl is there in the bathroom with him. And he is obviously uncomfortable. And
he's, like, moving the bubbles.
Yeah, and she doesn't care because she's Moaning Myrtle.
I mean, she's a ghost, but she's still 12.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, the actress isn't, though. The actress
no,
is, like,
the actress
30.
No, the actress is, like, yeah, like, super, well, I'm going to say super old because I'm older than that now, but yes. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure when they filmed the movies, she was 30.
She's in her 30s.
And that's just insane. She looks young.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Well, she sounds young. It's that
yeah.
high, squeaky voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was weird. Yeah, relatively old. Relatively old for playing a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wanna complain.
Okay.
About Prisoner of Azkaban.
I knew you would.
Because it's one of my favorite things to complain about.
It really is.
Because at that point, when the movie came out, which was in 2004, I think maybe the book for Order of Phoenix has come out. maybe. I'm not sure when it was. But it was between Goblet of Fire and Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on the timeline either, but it's about that.
And up to that point, Azkaban was my favorite book. I loved that book.
I did too.
It was my favorite until book 7. Book 7 is now my absolute favorite. I think that reading 1 through 6 is worth it just to be able to fully get the impact of book 7.
Can I be honest with you?
Absolutely.
I've only read book 7 once.
I think I've read it.
I restart the series a lot, yeah. And I'll make it to like 4 sometimes, and then I'll get distracted and other things will happen. So I've reread the beginning. Like, I've reread the first book probably like 1,000 times.
Oh, yeah.
And then I've just never made it all the way through again, mm-hmm. Which makes me a little sad. I feel bad.
It's all right. It's a lot of book.
It's a lot of book. All of them. But it's my favorite a lot of book.
Yeah. But, I mean, I've read it the least of all of them because it came out last. And so when every book was released, I would reread the whole series because we had plenty of time, plenty
of notice.
You must
read faster than me. I'm a slow reader, so I can't.
Don't you read?
Yeah. I do read. I read slowly, and I'll do it,
but
when I have some free time.
But the seventh one, I just love, I love, you know, they're in the woods a lot, and they just walk around the woods. And
the first half of it?
The first half, yeah.
And that's the part you like?
I do.
Really?
And the reason I like it is because that's when you learn the most about Dumbledore, because he's reading Rita's memoir, or, well, I guess it wouldn't be a memoir, but he's reading Rita's biography, mm-hmm. of Dumbledore. And even though it's terrible, it still gives us glimpses into his life. And I really like the dynamic between the three of them at their most volatile, because they're wearing the amulet that, mm-hmm. causes them to be super angry.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, they've gone through all of this together, yet this is the thing that kind of breaks them. And I like that, you know, Ron left, but then had to come back. And I like that Dumbledore foresaw that was going to happen. And so that's, mm-hmm. why he gave him the Illuminator in order to find his way back.
You like really seeing who they are as, mm-hmm. characters. I like it when they shoot magic out of their hands.
Yes, that's very cool, too. But, yeah, because I really like the relationships. And I know that since the series has ended, Jo has said that she kind of regrets putting Hermione and Ron together.
See, and that's... And I like that it wasn't the obvious choice, because for the first handful of books, you're like, who's Hermione? Because, I mean, obviously, someone's going to end up with someone.
Right.
So it's like she's going to end up with Harry? She can end up with Ron? And I like that they went with the least obvious choice. Mm-hmm. Also, I like Ron the best.
I love Ron.
So, clearly, yeah. Hermione would like Ron, because Ron's freaking adorable.
I love Ron. I really do. And Ron is, for a while, he was my favorite character. Now, I couldn't really say, because I just love them all too much. Mm-hmm. But I think that Harry's a better fit for her. Personality-wise.
I think they're too close.
Mm. And in rewatching the movies even more so than the books make it seem like, why does she like Ron at all?
Well, clearly she had to end up with Ron because Ginny ended up with Harry, and Ron can't end up with Ginny because that's gross.
That is gross. But
so it was really the only option.
But why did they have to get together with someone they went through school with anyway? They don't have to.
I know. Anyway. At least he didn't end up with Cho.
That's true. I didn't like Cho.
She cries a lot.
She cries a lot. I mean, granted, she had a reason. Her boyfriend died, and now she wants to be with the guy who was with him when he died, and it's all weird. But still, I didn't like
it. I have to admit, when they started adding in romantic relationships, my brain was kind of like, ew. What is this?
Yeah.
No, they don't date. No. What? No, I didn't like it.
There had to be some realism, though.
Yeah.
And I also love learning the final piece of the Snape puzzle.
I'll give you that one, because it's heartbreaking.
It is.
But at the same time, he's still kind of a terrible person, but it really... it really turns, like, because everyone expects that it's either going to be black or white. He's either going to be good or bad. And you find out that the entire time he's been living in this really heavy shade of gray.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard to blame him for being so hard on Harry and being kind of mean.
No, it all makes sense.
Because he is looking at the eyes of the love of his life through the face of his worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to be gut-wrenching.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I understand exactly where he's coming from as a character, and it's hard, like, it's absolutely heartbreaking, but he also, like, fixated on this one woman his entire life instead of trying to have some other form of healthy relationship, which
True.
Is also a huge, like, that was a choice he made.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as, you know, love is a choice, but, like, he did that thing, and he kind of obsessed over her and almost, like, stalked her a little bit, and that
little
is
bit.
Also creepy. It's, you know, I mean, he did it out of love, but where's that line of, oh, well, that's cute and romantic, to, okay, maybe you should stop.
Yeah. No, I agree. And, but then it's even harder to hate him once you see Alan Rickman as him.
Well,
because
yeah.
he embodied that character so beautifully.
Perfect.
And it was perfect, and no one could play that character better.
Yeah, watching Snape die now that Alan Rickman has passed
oh
is just
gosh.
Gut-wrenching.
Oh, yeah. That was part of the reason why Seven was so hard to watch.
Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I think either of us had seen it since he passed.
Yeah.
And I...
Yeah, that was
tough. It was harder than I thought it was going to be.
Absolutely.
Because I'm like, I know what happens. It's fine. Like, Dobby dies, Hedwig dies, Snape's gonna... It's fine. I've seen this a million times, and then you see it up there on the big screen, and everyone's quiet, and the movie's loud and all-encompassing, and it's just, all of a sudden, you're not okay.
Mm-hmm. No, we were definitely holding hands during that part.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was Chelsea's first. Like, we were with someone who... It was
That's
her
true.
Very first time watching
yes.
the final two movies.
Chelsea Bailey, who has been on our show a lot, went with us, and, yeah, she had never seen the final movies. And so,
which I don't know how she's escaped it for this long
with
us as friends.
Right? She flew under the radar.
So, she did.
She posted that to Facebook about the fact that it was the first time she'd watched it, and someone commented, "How long have you known Jen?" And she's like, "I just never brought it up."
Oh, she very specifically did not mention that to either of us because she knew we were going to be upset.
Yes. But at least it was cool to show it to her for the first time in IMAX. That was
IMAX,
XD.
XD, yeah.
XD. But yeah, so she was sitting next to me, and when Dobby died is when I started really just bawling. And she told me afterwards, she said, "I told myself I wasn't going to cry, and I was fine. I wasn't going to cry, and then you started crying, and I started crying."
We were all crying. You, me, Chelsea, Sarah, all in a row, just all crying.
Absolutely. And we weren't the only ones. There were sniffles coming from behind us, too.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if CJ cried. He was still a seat away at that point. Mm-hmm. He might have been crying, too. I think we were all crying.
We were all crying. How can you not cry?
I mean,
cry?
Really,
so
if you're not going to cry at that part, why are you even at that movie?
Right? No, that's a good point. Anyway, back to why I don't like Prisoner of Azkaban.
Wow, that was like tangent on top of tangent.
This one was directed by Alfonso Cuarón, and it was his first one. Because the first two were both directed by Chris Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very Chris Columbus movies. They were lighter, which the story
Which
shows
totally
that.
Embodied the first two books perfectly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's all happy and cheerful. And
kind of wish he had done three.
And even the darker moments were happy and cheerful.
And the color scheme is different.
Yes.
It was a warm color scheme for the first two, and then it goes to a cool color scheme for the rest of the movies.
And so not only did he ruin for me the story, like he messed up the storylines, he changed everything that was already established in the other movies. He changed the layout of the castle.
Mm-hmm.
He changed the design of the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Like Professor Flitwick, who was played by Warwick Davis, he looked like a miniature Dumbledore.
He did.
In the first couple movies. And maybe that's why they changed him, because they wanted him to give his own look. And then all of a sudden in the third movie, he has short black hair that's kind of greased down in a little tuxedo type thing.
Which is also cute, but it was a bit jarring. Like, who are you? Oh
yeah.
You're Flitwick?
Yeah.
Like, still? You got younger?
Yeah, it was weird. And, I mean, he even changed the Tom, the bartender of the Leaky Cauldron. They made him look like Igor, which was weird.
Actually, they made him look like Igor.
Yeah, yeah.
From, The funny one.
The funny one?
Where Frankenstein tap dances.
Oh, from Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein. Yeah. Thank you. Wow, I couldn't come up with Young Frankenstein. This is what happens when you watch too many movies at 10:15, like four nights in a row.
But yeah, so the storyline bothered me because in that movie they had the Marauder's Map, which is the map that Harry's father and his friends created when they were young. And that was kind of a big point in the story.
It's very important.
Was their friendship at school.
Kind of the central theme of the third book.
And that was completely skated over in the movie.
Completely.
I mean, the map was in it, but who these people were who created it was not explained at all.
Like, Lupin even has the map in his possession and then just doesn't say anything.
Yeah. Like, and I like in the book at least when he takes the map because Snape catches Harry in the hallway with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the map starts insulting Snape, which is like a little security that they put into it. And Lupin comes along and Snape says, oh, well, this is obviously full of dark magic. And he says, well, no, it's just a piece of parchment that insults whoever tries to read it. I'll take it and double check it. Harry, you want to come with me? And then he's like, I don't know how this map came into your possession. And so they completely skate over the fact that he knows it's a map.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, at least in the books, there's the line, I don't know how you got this map. Yes, I know it's a map.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go on. And then, yeah, like no mention of, oh, by the way, I wrote this map. Like, I created this map.
And nothing. And later, Harry refers to Sirius in the next movie as Padfoot.
Yeah.
But without any explanation of Moony, Wormtail, Padfoot, and Prongs, which is where you would find out that his name was Padfoot in the first place.
Right. Well, and then it also, Harry's Patronus is a stag, which the Patronuses are a whole other complaint. But his Patronus is a stag because his dad was a stag when he changed into, when he became an animagus. He was a stag. So that's why his Patronus is a stag, and why his name is Prongs, and that's not explained. Yet, Peter Pettigrew is constantly referred to as Wormtail with no explanation.
Also, why are the Death Eaters using Peter Pettigrew's childhood nickname?
That's a very good question.
The Order of the Phoenix members gave to him.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no. Yeah, Voldemort always refers to him as Wormtail. Mm-hmm. Why are you calling him Wormtail? His name is Peter Pettigrew.
Mm-hmm. Why? Deep breaths, Jen. Deep breaths. It'll all be okay.
So the Patronuses are very important charms in the series.
Mm-hmm.
And because they fight off the Dementors, they are in the embodiment of pure joy.
Yes.
And in the books, they only work when they take their full form of an animal.
Mm-hmm.
So when Harry casts the Patronus charm and there's the stag actually runs down the Dementors. It's very specific in the book that the stag runs after them and, you know, flips them with his horns and it's all. But in the movies, it's just kind of a white shield.
At first, yeah.
And the only time you ever see the animal is at the very end of the charm in the third movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the Dumbledore's army are learning how to do Patronuses, which they all caught on really quickly.
Real quick. Although, if you think about it, so did Harry. Lupin's like, this is very complicated magic.
But he wasn't.
I just taught it to you in 10 minutes.
But he wasn't able to produce the full one until he was actually in a situation that required it.
Yes, but it did take him 2 tries to get anything at all, which to me is not very complicated.
Right, but even when he got it in the classroom with Lupin, it was still
it
just
was
kind of a
the
whip.
Shield, yeah.
Yeah. And so the fact that all these kids are able to produce the full, is it
corporeal
Patronuses in this classroom where they're safe is weird.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
but it is fun that we get to see all the Patronuses.
That's true.
Except Neville's. Does Neville have one? Is he ever able to do it? It makes me a little sad if he can never do a Patronus because I could see him not accomplishing that.
I'm not sure. Like I said, I've started my reread and I will definitely be looking for that in,
or even if just like Joe, like assigned him one.
Yeah.
Just it would just make me feel better.
She may have. She does that a lot. You should search Twitter. I'm sure she's answered that question.
I don't want to search Twitter. Twitter scares me.
All right. Well, we're going to take another break, and then we'll come back to finish up with our Harry Potter festival. So you're listening to We're a Little Behind.
The annual Orchard Nutrition Center Health Fair is coming Saturday, September 8th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Don't miss your chance to enjoy lots of free samples of health-related items. There'll be a smart chicken hot dog barbecue. Be sure to bring the kids for the kitty carnival and great live music from Jimmy Limo. Find out about organic produce, organic groceries, vitamins and supplements, and so much more. And the event is absolutely free. The Orchard Nutrition Center Health Fair, Saturday, September 8th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 221 Locust Street in Redding.
This is Diane Hawks with the Address Realty and KCNR. I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how I could be of assistance to some of the car fire victims. So, I would like to donate 25% of my commissions to four families who have lost their homes in this horrific fire and wish to relocate in Shasta County. Even if you haven't yet received your settlement, you could call me now to reserve your commissions. Call Diane at 530-227-6401.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
This is Carl Bott. My tuber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at estategranite.com.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or DouglasWrightLaw.com.
Get ready to laugh because Riverfront Playhouse is bringing you a show about a normal guy who has a ton of everyday problems that everyone can relate to. Hilarity will ensue as Jasper navigates from mundane career obstacles, awkward romantic encounters, right down to the daily commute. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Somewhere in Between, written by Craig Pospisil, directed by Chris Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, September 22nd through October 13th. Mature themes and language, so viewer discretion is advised.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Lauren DeAngelis.
And we're talking about Harry Potter.
Like always.
Like always. one really fun... little fact about the Harry Potter festival we attended is that we got to wear so much Harry Potter clothing.
I almost ran out because I didn't want to wear like dresses and stuff like that. But like shirt, tank top wise, like I exhausted my my collection.
The final movie that we saw last night at 10:15, which would get me home at 1 o'clock in the morning, I just came in my pajamas. I'm like, I'm watching the movie in my pajamas, and that way when I get home, I can get right into bed.
That's what I did Sunday? Monday.
Monday.
There was one night. There was one night I brought PJs in a bag.
Yeah.
And, that was the Sunday one, because it was the three movie day. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, right now I want to wear normal clothes, but in a million hours, I'm going to want to wear my PJs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I changed in the bathroom of the movie theater in my PJs.
Yeah, so wearing all that. And I liked that for the first 2 days, my jewelry also corresponded with the movie we were watching.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the first night, I wore a necklace that has a little owl, and then hanging from the owl is a letter from Hogwarts.
Which is super cute.
So that's what I wore for the first movie, because he gets his letter. And it's actually addressed to H. Potter, covered under the stairs.
Your Harry Potter jewelry is, like, on point.
It is. And then the next day for movie 7, I wore a golden snitch that on it says, "I open at the close."
So dark, man. I can't believe you did that.
Which is, it says that. And it's kind of a little locket thing, but when you open it, it's just the Deathly Hallows symbol is on the inside.
Really? They didn't put the resurrection stone in there?
Well, technically it's there.
That's true.
In the circle of the symbol. But yeah, I have a lot of Harry Potter jewelry. Mostly because I have a very sweet husband who buys me all the Harry Potter jewelry he sees. So I have quite the collection.
Yeah. I've seen him at Hot Topic before where he's like, "I need to get this for Jen," and he just starts pulling things off the wall that you don't already own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't buy my own jewelry anymore. He gets it. But he's got a very good eye.
He does.
So I appreciate it. Anyway, so before we get going any further, I just want to remind everybody to head over to our website at gomezcast.com, and you can listen to all our past episodes, and you can also get caught up with our mascot, Walby, the Wallaby. He turns up in posters for all the movies we talk about. I haven't decided what I'm putting him in for this one yet. I don't know if maybe he'll be a Fantastic Beast. I don't know if maybe he'll go to Hogwarts.
Turn him into an owl.
Oh, that might be good. That sounds like a lot of Photoshop
just
work, though.
Just his face on Hedwig's body.
Well, the first time we did a Harry Potter episode, I actually put him on the cover of the book for Goblet of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I put his face where Harry's face is. That was fun. That was fun. But, yeah, so you can listen to all of our past episodes there. You can download them. We always link to everything we talk about. So for today, we're going to have links to all the Harry Potter movies, to their IMDb site. If you have any questions about any of these movies, they can be answered. You can also listen to us on Spotify, on iTunes. And if you have Alexa, or as in our house, she's known as Miss A, so that we don't always trigger her, so that she's not listening all the time.
She's listening all the time.
You can get the MyCast skill and ask Alexa to play We're a Little Behind, and she will play the latest episode.
I need to do that.
You do.
I've had Alexa for longer than you have, and I haven't enabled that. I don't enable skills anymore. She's basically just a fancy music player, and she tells me the weather, and I don't have to get up to see what time it is.
That's true.
Oh, she's also turns on our air conditioner.
Ooh.
And the lights. And that's about it. She's just a fancy personal assistant at this point, even though she can do a million things.
Yeah, we don't have her hooked up to the air conditioner. We might have to do that eventually. We use her mostly to wake us up in the morning. So she's a very easy alarm to set. And we have her turn on and off the lights when we get into bed because we're too lazy to get out. Which is nice.
It is nice.
For a while there, we, my Harry Potter fandom leaked out, and we had the lamp in our room named Lumos.
Oh, that's our living room lights. We have Lumos and Incendio.
Incendio, yeah.
We have two different lights, and those are our, yeah.
We had to change it because she wouldn't understand the word Lumos.
Really?
And it got really annoying.
See, I'll be like, "Alexa, turn on Lumos," and 90% of the time she's like, "Yeah, sure." And sometimes she'll be like, "I'm sorry, I can't find lights." And I'm like,
yes.
That is creepy in a weird way because A, didn't say lights, and B, how did you know that's what I was saying?
That's exactly what would happen with us. I'm sorry, I didn't find lights. I'm like, I didn't say lights.
Didn't say
I said Lumos. So we changed that one to clap. So now we say, "Alexa." So the problem is, to turn it on, you have to say, "Turn clap on." But what's fun is afterwards you can say, "Alexa, clap off." And she says, "Okay," and she turns off the lights.
You guys are the best nerds.
Right?
Love you.
We are pretty nerdy. So is there a movie out of the series that is your favorite?
You know,
Can you pick one?
It changes. And for a while, it was whichever one was the one before was the newest. Because the newest, they'd be like, "This is everything that's wrong. This one was way better." Honestly, I think it's 4.
4?
Which is an unconventional choice, but the more I watch through it, I like all the different tasks. It's a very segmented movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can really split it up between, like, this section, this section, this section, this section, and it's got dragons.
Yeah, dragons.
And it's got dragons that don't make me sad. The dragon in 7 makes me sad.
Oh, that dragon is so sad.
I want to, like, wring those goblins' necks for chaining it down there, because it's hurt. It's hurt and it's sad, and I like that it escapes, but it makes me sad every time I see it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I really like 4. I like that it has humor, and I like that it's funny. It's got a lot of humor in it, and I like that Neville turns into the to the Casanova of the dance.
Right.
And he's
and it's
so
supposed
adorable.
To be the one where Hermione like becomes hot, like she wasn't hot the whole time.
Right. Well, in the books that's when she became hot. But in the movies, yeah, she was hot all along.
But yeah, Harry Potter and the bad hair day.
Yeah.
I don't know who said, "Yeah, you look camera ready," to Harry and Ron, but jeez.
It was their Beatles face.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yes,
yeah. Like 5 starts and we all go, "Oh, they fixed his hair."
That's true. That was a good point. That's one of Chris's biggest pet peeves about that movie, is that he doesn't like the hair.
Well, it's big hair.
It is big hair. It's big long hair. But just a quick note about who would have thought that Neville was going to grow up to be the most gorgeous cast member?
No one saw that coming.
Saw that?
We also didn't really see it coming that he was going to be one of the coolest characters either.
Mm-hmm.
Like taking out the snake, like that's...
I mean,
he could have been Harry. Like, yeah. That could have got, like, it... Yeah.
Yeah, I love...
A lot of segmenting words here.
I love the evolution of Neville through the story. And they really didn't play him up as much as he wasn't as important in the early movies as he was in the books. Because like when they first see Fluffy for the first time, Neville is supposed to be with
them. He's supposed to be there.
And he's not in
the movie. Not Hermione, correct? It was just Harry, Neville, and...
No, Hermione was there, too.
Was it four of them?
It was the 4 of them.
Okay.
Yeah, because...
It's been a while.
I know, because I read
it today.
I actually got 3/4 of the way through the book today. I had a slow day.
I'm really jealous of your slow day. I would have loved to sit there and read Harry Potter all day.
But, yeah, because they... So Ron and Harry are on their way out to duel Draco.
Malfoy, yeah.
And on their way out through the common room, Hermione is there yelling at them, saying, "You're going to lose house points, and you're going to get in trouble, and how dare you, and why are you doing this, and he's just baiting you." And she follows them out the door.
That's right.
And then she turns to go back in, but the pink
and
lady is gone. And Neville is sitting out in the hallway because he was coming back from the hospital wing after falling off the broom during the flying lesson, and he couldn't remember the password, so he couldn't get into the common room. But by this point,
it's all coming back
Hermione
to me
now. Tells him what the password is, but the pink lady's not there, so they can't get in, so he goes
with
them. And, yeah, so he's a very important character from book one, and in the movies he's not so much. But I was really glad that they gave him his moment in the last movie of cutting the head off Nagini.
Well, and in the first movie, when they were making it, they didn't know how the series was going to end yet.
That's true.
So
yeah, they didn't realize
they didn't know he was going to be super cool.
But, yeah, but the actor who plays him, Matthew Lewis, oh my goodness, he is a gorgeous man.
He's a pretty man.
He's very, very pretty. He aged the best out of all of them.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
No. Like, in the first movie, he's a chubby little kid with the bucked teeth, and...
It just shows you. Be careful of who you write off in grade school, because...
I mean,
later you're going to be kicking yourself.
Even in book 7, he was still had the round face and kind of the dopey-looking smile. But, oh, He is quite pretty.
He's grown into himself very nicely.
Yes, he has. So that about does it for us. Thank you so much for joining me today, Lauren.
You're welcome.
And talking about my favorite subject.
I'm surprised I could talk about Harry Potter for an hour.
Right? So be sure to check us out on the web at gomezcast.com. Also look up We're a Little Behind on Facebook and give us a like and a follow to be up to date on all of our We're a Little Behind news. So thank you so much for listening, and good night.
get ready to laugh because Riverfront Playhouse is bringing you a show about a normal guy who has a ton of everyday problems that everyone can relate to. Hilarity will ensue as Jasper navigates from mundane career obstacles, awkward romantic encounters, right down to the daily commute. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Somewhere in Between, written by Craig Pospisil, directed by Chris Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, September 22nd through October 13th. Mature themes and language, so viewer discretion is advised.
The news is brought to you on KCNR in Shasta, Reading by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Reading. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.